Thank you, Praise Band. That was a beautiful song. More than beautiful, actually. There's a strong message in it. When we are living in the season of Pentecost, and we are talking about all the gifts that He has given to Christ's church, then we ask, what is the greatest gift He has given? If I was to ask you, what is the greatest gift that Holy Spirit has brought you, to you, maybe you start thinking about all the blessing that God has bestowed upon your life, which are many. And then when you go back to the gospel reading, and especially to the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is one gift beyond anything else in this world, in the whole universe. It is the gift of being born again, to be a child of Christ, child of God. New birth, the greatest gift from the Holy Spirit. John Wesley advised his preachers at one time, early days of Methodism, that please include new birth, born again, message on new birth into your preaching schedule, and preach it every week. Preach about this as often you can, because it is the starting point. It is the starting point, the beginning of everything else in our lives. I don't think if I have been as faithful Methodist preacher than John Wesley preferred, but I've been trying to be a Methodist preacher. Any preacher, really, we should remember this is very important. Now, let's remember before He's dead on the cross and before His resurrection from the dead, Jesus teaches in the Gospel of John, what are going to be the main fruits of the suffering, of His suffering and work on the cross. What is it all about? What was it all about? So Jesus stated that His work on the cross was to open a completely new spiritual reality to every sinner like you and I, and to every lost through the new birth. We call it born-again experience. Jesus says, without this experience, nobody will enter the kingdom of God. The book of Acts in chapter 10, verse 43 says, all the prophets testify about Him, about Christ, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. All the prophets. So what it means that all the prophets in the Old Testament, they were predicting, they were prophesying about the coming Messiah, the Savior, through whose name we all will be forgiven. All the prophets mean, of course, Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Jonah and Micah and Nahum and Habakkuk, did I pronounce it right? Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and so forth. All the prophets prophesied about Him, that through His name there will be forgiveness of sins. Now John Wesley, our church father, viewed the new birth or born again experience as a fundamental and necessary spiritual transformation that brings a person from spiritual death to spiritual life, enabling us to truly see and hear and feel the things of God. How well he put it. And Wesley said that the new birth is using his words, a dramatic shift from darkness to light, a dramatic shift. Most of us can relate to this experience. It was a dramatic shift. And then he emphasized that this new birth is a vast change from darkness to light, a complete change of heart and soul, and a vital and mandatory for entering the kingdom of God. And then he said, distinct from mere outward religious practices, even water baptism, as important it is to us as Christians. Now, sometimes when he was still in his office, in the office, the late President Jimmy Carter mentioned it in his speech that he addressed to a nation. He said that it was actually his testimony. That wasn't the topic of his speech, but he said, "I am a Bible-believing and born-again Christian believer." That is what he said. Some of you may remember his speech. So a few days afterwards, you better believe it, the White House started receiving letters, hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them, addressed to the President, Carter, and people asking, they're asking this, "Mr. President, what did you mean by saying that you are a born-again Christian? What is a born-again Christian?" And people writing from different denominational backgrounds, church affiliations, some of saying that, "Well, Mr. President, I have been a member of this my church for all my life and all the time. And this is the first time I hear anybody saying that I am a born-again Christian. Mr. President, can you please explain plain simple words, what does it mean to be a born-again Christian?" All of a sudden, the President Carter understood that he's going to be a Christian counselor, a preacher and pastor to thousands of people who wanted to know what he mean by saying, "I am a born-again Christian believer." So President Carter took these people very seriously. And he talked to his staff and advisors. And before too long, there's a teaming place consisting of Christian people. And their assignment was very simple. Every person who sent the letter asking, "What does it mean to be a born-again Christian believer?" need to be answered and stated clearly what does the Bible says about being born-again Christian believer. So what does the Bible say? First of all, what is the new birth? What is the new birth in the Bible? Some of here may say, "Well, I don't really see it that way." Or somebody who is watching us this morning say, "Well, I haven't heard that term either, I don't think, never before." Now, Bible uses different words about this. New birth or born again or regeneration or conversion. These are all terms used to describe the moment or sometimes the process. Not just the moment, the process by which we are brought by God from the state of sin into new life in Jesus Christ. If I was to ask some of you that, "Tell me, when was it when you turned your life to Christ and you were born again and you became a witness in professing Christian believer?" Some of you raise your hand. "Yeah, I know. I remember exact time and day." Now, some of us may say, "Well, I don't. I don't remember exact date or time. But I know today I am a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm a believer. And I know I have been born again." Now, anyway, it is very important experience for us. Like Jesus says, without being born again, there is no way we can enter the kingdom of God. Now, it is the power of the Holy Spirit that does it. And which we grow through the inspiration and workings of the Holy Spirit within us. To be born again is to see and to enter the kingdom of God. Here is what Jesus says. Listen to him. "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." It's God's work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. Church membership doesn't create it. It don't matter if you are a member here or there or in many churches at the same time. It is not the same as church membership. Being born again is a matter of faith that you trust your life, your past and present and future, under the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. and receive him into your heart. I tell you the truth, no one can enter and see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Jesus repeating, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And Bible continues, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature object of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. This is Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. It is through faith you have been saved. Now, secondly, how many times as a pastor I've heard people asking this from me, how can I be put right with God? How can I make it right with God? I'm uncertain, Reverend, tell me, I'm uncertain about this. And the Bible responds to us, we are put right, which is justified. When we accept Christ's forgiveness of our sin in Christ Jesus, and when we, through the grace of God, become God's children. So this is us receiving the gift, and Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and he will make us children of God. So God stores us to a right relationship. It is God's work. God does this on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, in his death and resurrection, and on the basis of our faith. Your faith is reaching out for Christ, taking his hand, and he takes it from there. So faith is important. You reach out by your faith, whatever faith you have. You say, I have so little faith, you have enough faith if you reach out for Christ and he takes you from there. And we are put right with God when he forgives our sins, accepts us as we are, and declares us to be God's children. Listen to what the Bible says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. This is Romans 8:1. And the Bible continues. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Romans 5:5. And the lastly, but not leastly, how can I know I am saved? Maybe somebody in the sanctuary this morning. You say, Timo, I've been attending this church and before this church, many churches, and sometimes I'm just kind of uncertain whether I am saved or not. Can one really know that one is saved in this life? What about I just remain waiting and see what happens when I pass the gate? That won't be my recommendation, my friend. That won't be my recommendation. Today, the Bible says, if you hear his voice, accept his grace for you. The Bible says, assurance of salvation is given to us in the Bible, in the gospel. It's now here. You are now offered salvation through the word of God. Then by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It is so strong. I can't convince you, it don't matter how I preach to you, that you are God's child. But when Holy Spirit comes into your heart, I don't have to say nothing. Even I say Mesopotamia, you know that I'm God's children. It is the Holy Spirit who does the work as we reach out for Christ for salvation. He has taken 99 steps toward you. It is just the one step that you have to take to turn to him and then it will happen. Also by the evidence of your words and deeds. If you are very loud about your salvation and you pass judgment on somebody else about not being saved, but then people start looking at you and listen to you and say, well, if salvation means what who you are, I don't want to be part of it. And that has happened too, sometimes. And then through the inspiration, talking about assurance given to us, through the inspiration and support and encouragement of our brothers and sisters in the fellowship of the church. This is where we get encouragement and prayers and support on our journey into heaven. This is where we get supported. Listen to what the Bible says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, of course, daughters as well. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are, listen to this, that we are God's children. That we are God's children. I hope you are God's children. I hope Christ is in your heart. If not this morning, he can come into your heart if you welcome him. And you will be born again by the work of the Holy Spirit. Not because I say it to you, but because Holy Spirit ministered to your heart. Now if we are children, Bible continues, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. There's a song that I was singing. Oh, well, I did not sing, but it was the song that came to my mind. I was preparing this message. It is a song that you all have heard many times. It is talking about the old rugged cross. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old rugged cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. That's where it took place. And today it can take place in our hearts. And by the way, when you hear a message like this and you say, Timo, I can relate to that. I remember the year, I remember the day. You may say, well, I don't remember the year, I don't remember the day, but I remember when I realized that I am God's child. I belong to Jesus. I came to know. I was assured. Whatever your experience is, it's your experience. But what an important thing it is to receive. We receive the gift today. Let's pray together as we are closing. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so overwhelmed about the greatest gift you have given to us through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we do receive Christ into our hearts today. Even if it's the first time we do that, or even we have recommitted our hearts to you many times, but we are so overwhelmed for the love and mercy that you have offered to us. So we respond to you, Jesus. We want to walk with you all the way. We want to be God's children. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We want to be assured by the power of your Holy Spirit that we belong to you and there's love and grace in our hearts. And on the way to heaven, Lord, we want to reach out for those who don't know you and to be good and strong witness about who you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We continue our worship time by the ministry of giving. If the ushers can please come forward at this time.